Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. One of the things that I'm working on as your pastor is just to help guide our missions committee in crafting a missions policy and philosophy. those are, you know, might sound like fancy words and scary words, but it is our intention to equip the Christian Church of Rural Grove with some guidance and some direction, because the missions committee it changes, and from year to year, it's a different group of people often, and so just some guidance. It's not necessarily these things can't change, but that's the policy side, all right? When we talk about a philosophy, a way of thinking that directs a way of doing, okay, I really take that seriously. Now, what I mean by that is that I realize that anything and everything we do and the way we approach them needs to be driven by the Bible, okay? In other words, we need to be able to say, this is exactly what God wants us to do. So this is a journey that I am on one of my roles is leading, so this message kind of comes out of some of those times that I've spent on this subject. As we think of the mission of the church and the purpose of the church, the word growth comes to mind. Growth. Okay? Now, in our house, we have a certain doorway that has a certain piece of trim. And before the addition, we used to actually write on it. I know trustees were not supposed to write on the walls, but we did. But it's gone now. We don't write on the new trim, but this is the place every birthday our kids know this is where they go and they get measured. Okay, and this is the way we keep track of our kids' height. Anybody grow up that way? Did your parents, you know, did they have it? Do they mark it on the wall? Anybody mark it on the wall? Can I get a witness on that? Okay, I'm not the only one. All right, so we do this, and the exciting thing about it is that the kids know that they're going to grow. It's just the question of how much, right? Now, of course, when I go and I stand there, I think I'm holding steady right now, John. I think I'm holding steady, but eventually I will start heading the other direction. But for our children, you know, there's this anticipation of growth, and how much did I grow? And of course, I have it in a computer. I have this chart that shows each height at each age, and I compare all the kids. And whenever we do this, all the kids gather around and see how they're doing against the others, right? And how they rank. And, so it's just an exciting little thing. But the point of the matter is they know that they're going to grow. And it's an exciting thing to grow. Paul, in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, makes some comments that causes us to realize that growth is a very integral part of the church. Growth. Look at your Bibles, and we'll go to verse 11 of Ephesians 4. And we read, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, and to the edifying of the body of Christ. For we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice a couple key words as you look through this. Perfecting of the saints, edifying of the body of Christ, those there in verse 12. 13, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're picturing that stature and going up, growing. The mention of children in verse 14, and being no more children, the idea of not remaining a child, but growing up from childhood to adulthood, that picture of immaturity to maturity. Of course, verse 15 says it right out, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then verse 16, the end there, you see, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Growth. So as Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus, and he is helping them understand this great mystery of the church, this mystery that God had, of course, in his mind from all eternity, but it has been now revealed. And Paul's helping these Gentile Christians to understand what they're a part of. And you read the beginning chapters of the book of Ephesians, and you see him unpack that mystery. And here in chapter 4, he begins to turn his attention to the practical outworking of that and helps them to understand in this passage that they are in this together with the purpose of growing, with the purpose of growth from immaturity to a greater maturity. I hope you realize something, that the way he puts this, he puts the ultimate perfection or the ultimate of maturity, he puts that bar pretty high, doesn't he? I mean, in fact, it is so high that you and I will never reach it here this side of heaven. We'll never attain unto it. But what he does is he sets that bar there, Jesus Christ, so that we have no excuse but to continue day after day after day to grow, to be growing as people, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as you think about growth, there's really two main aspects of growth when you think of God's mission for the church. When he gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28 there, he said, go ye into all the world and make disciples. So when you think of growth, there is definitely a numerical growth, a quantitative, a more. We could say it's a multiplying growth. There is to be more of you. But then there's also a maturing growth, where you are to be growing to be more like Christ. And in the process, the whole idea of making disciples, helping others to mature to be like Christ. So you have a multiplication in people. There should be more of us. And also a maturing, a growing in our faith, in our understanding of who God is. Now, it is easy to see the whole idea of growing in number, because you have 20 one week and then you have 21. There is a growth, isn't there, right? And you know, some people, you know, make big deal about numbers, and we gotta just more and more people. We got in our churches. We gotta get more and more people, get greater numbers. And you know what happens is there becomes a philosophy of they're driven just get people in the door, more and more numbers. Now I want us to understand something. God does want us to grow numerically. God does want us to grow to as far as we need to be going out and making more of us. And don't take that wrong in saying that it's about us. More of disciples of Jesus. Let's be more biblical, Federhoff. Let's be disciples of Jesus, and we need to be more of them, more of us making disciples of Jesus. And so that is very important. In fact, if that wasn't laid out before us, then what in the world is missions at all? What in the world is the mission of you going to work and having in your heart and mind the drive to say, I want my coworker to know about Jesus? What is the purpose of you living in a certain place, realizing that as you see your neighbor mowing his lawn across the street, that you pray for him that he might come to know Jesus? Because God has told us, I want you to go and make disciples, a multiplying. And so we can see that and understand that as far as numerically, but what about the maturing growth? What does that look like? You know, by definition, change is a defining principle of growth. Now, that's not very profound, but I think it needs to be mentioned. You see, our kids would be greatly discouraged if they stood up against that piece of trim and we did the measurement and we compared it to last year and it's the same. It's the same. Now, kids, you're getting there. I have one who's really probably pretty close, growing about half an inch a year right now. I won't mention her name. But, you know, but you know what? Change, by definition, is a defining principle of growth. In other words, you're going to see a difference. How about a plant? That's a good biblical definition. The Bible uses agricultural terms. And I know our society is becoming less and less agricultural, but I believe you here in Rural Grove understand it. You live around farms. If you're not a farmer, you live around them. You see them all over the place. You watch in the beginning of the year, it's just dirt. And then a couple months later, a couple weeks later, you start to see a little green pointing up. And I like to drive by and I look to see when can I see it in rows. That's fun for me. You just see the rows and you can see it's growing because there's a change that's taking place. There was a seed that was planted in brown soil. And a couple weeks later, there's green and it's growing. And there's this incredible transformation that takes place from a seed that is no longer a seed, but now is the structure of a stem and of a root, and it grows up, and you know what it does? Produces fruit. Produces more seed. Let's remember God made that. And God made that partly, I think, to use as an illustration for you and me. It may be a little backwards, but nevertheless, I think it's pretty cool because God did it anyway. God wrote it. God made it. And so we can look out and see the plants and understand there is growth, there is change in form, there is change in size. So if the believer is to grow, if the believer is growing, there's going to be change. There's going to be differences. And these differences, listen to this, this is important. These differences are observable. Okay, that's important because I can come up to you and I can say, I'm different. I'm changing. I'm growing. But you might not see anything. In fact, you might see the opposite. Right? But see, both God is, the greatest observer, the greatest judge, of course, and we live for that. But we live in a community, both of believers, but also in a community of those who do not yet know God. And what are they seeing? What are they observing? What's your coworkers hearing? We want growth. It's an observable change, right? Are they seeing that in you? Good point of application. Good question right now, right? How about your siblings? I was going to say young people, but you know what? We all have siblings. And sometimes those are tough relationships. But you know what? What about our siblings? Do they see growth? Those of you that are teenagers and you have younger siblings, are they seeing you change, grow, mature? Are they? What about us as parents? That's a sobering one, isn't it? At least it is for me, because I've got young ones at home, and they watch. And are they seeing Dad grow? Wow. And you could go down the line with the very different places of influence that you have as an individual, whether it be work or places that you go for entertainment, enjoyment, your neighborhood, whatever it might be. Do I have a reputation of being a growing Christian? This is important, and I trust convicting as we take this piece of scripture, this passage that Paul brings to the table, God brings to us today, and we recognize that the standard is the fullness of Christ. So we're recognizing that none of us have arrived. So that means that we are to be in this constant state of growing. There is this rebuke of remaining a child, that we henceforth be, verse 14, be no more children. Why? It's not that God doesn't like children. We know He loves children. And we've all been a child. And you remember what it was like to be a child and the decisions that you made and how you couldn't navigate life the way you can now. How you couldn't see up on the counter. And now you look down. You know, there has been growth. You know, as children, as those who are immature, there is this sense of ripe for deception. You see it here, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, there's a reason God gave children parents, right? Because children need guidance and protection because they are immature. And we've all been there, and this is not a cut against you kids. You're growing. But what about us who may physically be adults, but yet spiritually we are content in immaturity? We do not care about investing in growth. We just want to exist and remain the status quo. Change, by definition, is a defining principle of growth. Are there sins that you have repented of recently? That's change. What are some steps of obedience that you have taken, you knew you needed to do, and you finally took those steps? That's growth. What areas of trust, or where have you taken steps of faith? We'll put it this way. You know that this is something God wanted you to do, and you finally said, yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this step. Can you think of a time that you've done that? What do you know now about the Lord that you didn't know yesterday, last week, or the week before? Huh. Yeah, I grunt because those are sobering, challenging questions that I believe have the power to reap great benefits in your life and in the life of the Lord's church here in Rural Grove. As we look at the passage again, we recognize that the standard is set at the fullness of the Christ, the fullness of Jesus. We realize that there is a rebuke for remaining immature, and that it is a dangerous place to be, to remain. We recognize that love is a key part of this passage. And this is not by mistake. You notice in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, see verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is a corporate nature to growth. We need one another to be growing. As we hand in hand minister in this community, in this area of the world, as we hand in hand minister in UNH and Central Asia or in Lesotho or Japan or wherever we may have the opportunity to minister, we want to be a body of people who are growing together. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're growing at the same rate, but it means we are driven by this same purpose. We don't want to be children anymore. You see, love is what holds us together. You see, Jesus Christ is the one we are seeking to be like. He is the one who is leading us. He is our head. And it is his love that holds us together. It is his love that allows us to hand in hand walk together in ministry as we grow together. If we did not have his love, then good riddance with you, I'll go on my own. Very slippery slope, right? But God has tempered us, given us his love, where we all recognize we've got the same head, the same standard. And the same glue, his love. So now we need to reckon with this truth, church. We need to think about this. We've already asked these questions, but we're going to ask them again. Is there change in my life? Is there growth? I can see already this is going to be a multi-Sunday message. Because there's more to be said, certainly, on this point, but I believe God wants to settle us now on this point. Am I one who is growing? Do I have even heart to grow? Is there change, observable change in my life? Does God see that? Does God see that? What does he see? Have you repented of a sin recently? And by the way, what does repentance mean? It means a change of mind that results in a change of action. Change. Change. Have you taken steps of obedience that you know God wanted you to do? You know, this is a personal journey for me too. I share this with you just to give you an example of that I am naturally a timid individual. I'm not one who likes to be in the limelight. And taking steps of risk is hard for me. I was driving on the road, and obviously that's a good idea. I'm maturing. My kids keep track of the funny things I say. You can write that one down. So I'm driving on Log Town Road, and I come up behind a buggy, Amish buggy, and you just do what you normally do. You wait for the opportunity that's safe to go around, and as I'm doing so, there's this prodding in my heart. I want you to talk to him. Those kind of things bug me because I'm like, man, is that of God or am I just trying to be extra spiritual or something, you know? And so I'm just honest with you, okay? I usually try to push it off because I don't want to stop. Can I be honest? All right, so I drive by and I look at him. And I see a hurt. I see an emptiness. I remember specifically his face. He didn't even wave at me, and I waved at him. I'm nice, you know. I'm nice. I smile, and I wave at him. Nothing. No wave. Just a deadness. So I just drive on. And this is eating at me. Have you ever been there? Ever been there? Yeah, it's just like eating at you. All right. So I'm not, you might think I'm funny, but you know, I got to figure out how to make this look natural. So I pull over to the side of the road and I fiddle with things in the van and open doors, close doors, you know, whatever. To try, you know, waiting for this buggy to come up. And so finally it comes up, and like, what am I going to say? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to listen to this prodding, all right? So I just wave him down. Hello. And he is like, who is this guy? It's like just strange, you know? And I put my smile on, and I'm like, I just tell him, I believe God wanted me to talk to you today. And he's like, this is getting really strange, right? But so I just engaged with him, tried. It's hard. And I was beginning to think, Lord, I don't think this was something you wanted me to do. Because I didn't really get very far. But I was obedient. I was obedient. And I, you know, how can I pray for you? I got his name. He knows where I live. And so, he began to ask a few questions, but we didn't get very far. But he didn't even let me pray there with him. But I prayed with him as I prayed for him as he went on. But those kinds of things, I there's too many times that I've said no, I'm not doing that. Too many times, and I just go on. But as I look at my life, this is nothing about me. I'm just saying. I can say, thank you, God, for a glimmer of growth. Because that was huge for me. You might think you're a pastor, you do this all the time. No, that's huge for me. To say, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and I feel out of place, this feels weird, I don't know this guy, but okay. What are you observing in your life that you can say, God is at work in me? And if you can't think of anything, then let today be the day that a fire lights you. And that you begin to look for opportunities and realize that I am a child of God and He doesn't want me to be a child forever. So Lord, here am I. Send me. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. This is yours. Amen.